I can't wait to tell your pastor that Brother Leonard likes Willie Nelson. I'm sure he will appreciate that insightful information there. All right, I got my glass of water here. Someone asked me, they said, do you want one glass or two glasses? I said, how long you want me to preach? Two glasses get you twice as long, and then some smart aleck back there in the sound booth said, give him one about that much. Feel right at home here at this church here tonight. I thank the Lord for the good relationship that he's given me with your preacher. Your former preacher and I have developed a real close friendship. Our brother Marwelli and I, we email back and forth. Matter of fact, I read an email from him just before I came to the church here tonight. He is one of our supporting missionaries. Your pastor and I have just, our hearts have been knit together. He has preached for me on two or three different occasions when I've been on mission trips. And so he invited me here tonight. So I'm paying my debt to Pastor Rich. And there is one man in this church that I'm still very angry with, Bill. Can you believe he came and stole one of our members? One of our faithful members. Carol's been with me. It's over 25 years. How long? Over 25 years Carol's been with me, and he stole her away from us. But I'm trying to develop a forgiving spirit. Yes, Carol.
I must admit, though, that I sat under your teaching all that time. You've always taught the submissive
to God. How many of you always listen to what your preacher says? I mean. Hey, I'm kind of glad Pastor Rich is gone because we're playing you guys this week in softball. You know, the last two times we played you, we lost because he hit a home run. The last two times. One of the times he hit a grand slam. The last one up to bat, hits a grand slam and beats us. That just, I tell you, it's not right. Well, anyway. Hey, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7 with me tonight. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 7 through verse 11 after Pastor asked me if I'd fill in for him. I really made it a matter of prayer to take this before the Lord as to what he would have me to challenge you with tonight. And there were two things that kept coming to my mind. They're both completely different. They're like two different messages. So I'm going to preach the first one, and then I'm just going to mention the second one. All right? Seriously, I'll just mention this second. Hey, when Pastor Rich came to our church and filled in for me last time, he preached an hour. Can you believe your preacher did that? So I preached an hour and 5 minutes this morning just to, you know, keep up with Pastor. All right, before we get into this passage of Scripture tonight, I've entitled the message, Does God Answer Prayer? I want you to participate here with me tonight. You know, this is a Sunday evening. It's a little bit more informal than a Sunday morning. So let me ask you a question. Does God sometimes answer our prayers and then sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers? How many would say, yes, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't? Okay, a few of you. How many of you would say, no, I think God always answers our prayer. Whenever we pray, I believe God always answers our prayers. How many would fit in there? Okay. How many would say, you know, I really don't know? All right, so we have a divided fellowship here tonight. That's good. Well, let's read this portion of Scripture. Let's let the Bible answer that question for us tonight. Does God answer prayer? Now, listen, we've all heard message after message after message on prayer, haven't we? We all know how important prayer is, how vital it is to the Christian life and the Christian experience. I mean, prayer is a part of our daily life. At least we pray before we eat. Prayer is a part of the church. You know, the early church, they met together for doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. That is the full agenda for church ministry. So prayer obviously is important. It needs to be a part of our life. Jesus prayed and set that example for his disciples. So we all know the importance of prayer. But does God always answer prayer? I think the reason why we don't pray as we should is because we really don't believe that God answers prayer. We say we believe that God answers prayer. We say that, well, sometimes He answers prayer and sometimes He doesn't answer prayer, but because we really do not believe, we say, yes, I believe that with my head, but in my heart, I really don't believe that God hears and answers my prayer. Well, let's see what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7. Are you there? Say amen. Ask and it... What, church? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door of prayer, the door of answered prayer, shall be opened unto you. Let's look at that again. Ask and it may be given you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, and we all are. Remember what Paul said? I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. O wretched man that I am. We could all say amen to that. Amen. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? Does God really answer prayer? Well, James 5:16 says this, the effectual, if you know it, say it with me, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer. The word effectual means that which is capable of or successful in producing a desired result. The word fervent means intensely passionate. Let me ask you a question. Do you get intensely passionate about your prayers? Do you pray passionately? Do you pray fervently? It means having or showing great emotion and zeal when you're praying. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Keep your finger here and take your Bible and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. In Jeremiah chapter 33, I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 3. I want you to be there. I want you to follow along. Search the scriptures along with me tonight. What's the first word? Well, there's two of you that have found it, okay? What's the first word? All right. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Well, I'll tell you, it's a good time to pray, amen? Look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the one who is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. All things are held together by the word of his power. He is Lord of all. Amen. Amen. Thus saying, the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Now, verse 3. Call unto me. Call unto who? The Lord, the maker, the creator, the sustainer, the establisher, the one whose name is above every name. Call unto me and I might answer you if I'm not busy doing something else. I what, church? I will answer thee. This is an awesome verse, isn't it? He promised, God promises, you call upon me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not, that you cannot even imagine. Call upon me. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. An awesome passage of scripture. I love to preach it. John chapter 15. And right there in verse 7,
What's the first word?
All right, you're there. Amen. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, if ye abide, remain in fellowship with me, and my words abide in you, watch this, ye shall ask what it will, and it may be done. It shall be done. Call unto me, and I will show you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Take your Bible now and turn to 1 John. Some of you may even know where I'm turning to. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through verse 15. And this is the confidence. We're going to look at that word confidence tonight. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, what? Ask and it shall be given you? Do you believe that, yes or no? How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? How many believe God cannot lie? And this is the confidence. We should pray with confidence. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He what? He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know for sure that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So let me ask you again. Does God always answer prayer? I'm here to tell you tonight, absolutely. God answers every time that we pray. Okay. Then how should we respond when it seems like God is not answering our prayers? Come on, let's get real. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking, we're looking, we're hoping, we're praying. And yet, we know the promises of God's Word. But God doesn't seem to be hearing. And if He is hearing, He's not moving on our behalf and He's not answering our prayers. How do we respond? How many of you have ever had a pressing need in your life? We know the verse. Say, but my God... Wow, those shells show up a lot in Scripture, don't they? But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches. He's Lord of all. According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So how do we respond when God doesn't seem to be meeting our needs? Perhaps you have a particular desire that you really believe that God has cultivated and put in your heart. It is a righteous, godly desire for something. Or for something to be done or accomplished. Doesn't the Bible say, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He... There's that word again. He shall give you the desires of your heart. But yet you're walking with God, you love God, you have what you believe is a righteous desire, and yet that desire goes unfulfilled. In situations like this, I'm going to tell you, that's where the enemy comes in. Are you with me, church? That's where the enemy comes in and he begins to attack you in the area of doubt. And he says, just give up, just quit praying. God doesn't care. God isn't hearing. God's not going to answer. And he throws these accusations at God in your mind. What does the Bible say? You cast down those imaginations. And bring every thought into the captivity of Christ, or Satan is going to get an advantage over you and you're going to stop praying. Yes or no? Yeah. Within this passage that we have just read, Matthew chapter 7, I believe that there's two things. I believe they're keys to answers of prayer, where Jesus talks about persevering and He also talks about confidence when you are praying. Persevere and have confidence when you're praying. I believe those are the two keys to having answered prayer. If we want the Lord to answer our prayer, then we must pray with perseverance. I was going to take time, but you know, time always goes faster than I think it's going to. Always. It's always been that way ever since I started preaching. It's already 10 to 7. But you remember the story of the widow and the unjust judge. He had no regard for man. Sounds like some of our judges today. had no regard for man. He had no fear of God. But this woman kept coming to him, saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." And she came over and over and over and over again. And every day he'd come to the courtroom, and here was this woman. And though he cared nothing about her, had no regard for her or what was going on in her life, he said, "Fine! Because of your persistence, what do you want? You got my ear." And so she tells him, and he gives her her request. Well, God's not, he's not like that unjust judge. He cares about us. Do you believe that? I believe God loves you. And he certainly is not unjust. He is a righteous God. But he uses that unjust judge as an example of his delight to hear his people come to him and come to him and come to him. And then in his timing, he will answer those prayers. What does Jesus mean when he says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." You know, those verbs are written in the continuous tense. Now, we don't pick that up right away through the English reading, but this is what it means. Ask, keep on asking. Knock, keep on knocking. Seek, keep on seeking. Don't stop. Keep it up. Don't quit. When Satan floods your mind with doubts, come back to him and pray again for that thing. Do spiritual warfare against the enemy. Exercise your faith. Say no. God said he shall answer my prayer. And I believe that he will. Keep on. Sometimes answers to prayer come, boy, I know this to be true in my life, after long seasons of waiting and persevering in prayer. Doesn't always happen right away. But I do believe that God always responds when we pray. I believe there are three ways that God responds. Remember, he is our heavenly Father. We are his children. What a wonderful relationship. Amen? But there's three ways that God always responds. First of all, sometimes you have a request and you bring it before the Lord and he says yes right away. Love it. Don't you? Love it. I mean, God just does that. It strengthens our faith. You know, we prayed about it. There was this urgent need, and boom, God met that need. We had a wonderful thing. We're starting a Christian. God has been so good to our church. He has so blessed our church. We're starting a Christian school this fall. About 2 years ago, God just dropped a Christian school administrator into our church. We're excited about the Christian school. We're going to use PCC's video program, and so we need 12 TVs. Sears was running a sale on TVs, 42-inch TVs, built-in DVD players, $299. Now, that's a deal, right? That's a deal. And so we needed these, but we had to purchase them by Friday. So Wednesday, I stood before the people. This is a Wednesday night crowd. And I said, "Listen, I've really prayed about it." And I asked the Lord, "Lord, would you please provide those TVs? This is a deal." Stood before the people, told them what we needed. You know, I'm not a fundraiser kind of guy. There's some of those preachers, they're so, "How many give 10? How many give 50? How many give 100? You know, they get it all done. I just never felt comfortable doing that. Someday I might, but I just put it out there before the Lord. Do you know, by the end of the service that night, $3,600 came in. Exactly what we needed to buy those 12 TVs. And then someone wrote an additional check for $5,000. I love it when God says yes, and here's a little bit more. Amen? Man, we rejoice. We've all had immediate or almost immediate answers to our prayers. And that really, really strengthens our faith. Then there's times when God says, "Wait." Yeah. Well, over and over again, the Bible tells us to wait on the Lord. You know, God does things when he tells us to wait, like causes us to examine, do I really have the right motives? We have not because we ask not, and sometimes we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lust. So sometimes he reveals wrong motives or incorrect perspective that we might have that contributes to the delay in God's answer to prayer. But listen, when God says wait, he says wait for a purpose, and he knows what he's doing. His timing is not right yet. But what do? We continue to persevere, right? We continue to persevere. We continue to wait on the Lord. allow God to do His work within us and arrange circumstances that will then bring about His will in His perfect timing. Listen, don't ever run ahead of the Lord. Listen, I've been preaching for over 30 years. I've watched people, when God has said wait, they become impatient, they don't persevere, and they just run ahead of the Lord, and they ruin their lives every time. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently upon Him. It's something that all of us need to learn. Remember when the nation of Israel wanted to have a king like everybody else? Did God want them to have a king? He wanted to be their king. They didn't need a king. They had God. You don't get a better king than that, right? But because they were insistent, because they wanted to run ahead of the Lord, God said, okay, give them a king. I'll give them the desires of their heart, but I will bring leanness to their soul. And then what did they say after they got their king? Boy, did we do a dumb thing. How many people do you know that have done a really dumb thing by running ahead of the Lord? So when God says yes, we're excited about it. When God says wait, we should be just as excited about it. Amen? Well, that was a weak amen. You amen the yes, but that second one was a weak amen. We ought to be just as excited about it when God says wait. Amen? Amen. All right. That was a forced amen. The third way that God responds is with a no. Remember, He is our Heavenly Father. We are His children. And sometimes He just says, no, I love you too much to give you that. You don't understand. That's going to hurt you. That's going to harm you. That's not going to be good for you. So I'm going to withhold that from you. We should be just as excited when God says no as we are when God says yes. Still pretty weak there. But that's not human nature, is it? Jeff introduced me as having 10 children. I do have 10 children. Got 4 wonderful daughter-in-laws. I have a great son-in-law. He's been here in your mission conference, headed to China. 7 beautiful grandchildren. You know why God gives you children? So you can have grandchildren. I'm convinced of it. I made a statement in church that said, I love God, I love my wife, I love my grandkids, I love my children. But you know what? Over the years, many of my children have come to me with requests. And many times I've said yes. Every time that one of my children have come to me and asked me for something and I've said yes, they're really excited, right? Smile comes on their face. They're joyful. Right, you know, they'll turn around and say something to their siblings or their friends. They're just really excited when I say yes. This is the truth. I can't remember one time that any of my children ever came to me and I said, not right now, just wait, that they've ever been happy and excited about it. They have always, always expressed disappointment. And then they go ask mom. You know how that works, right? We got wise to that. Mom always said, did you ask dad? But they always express disappointment. When I say no, then out comes the poochie lip. I have a little grandson. His name is Josiah. The cutest little thing. He is so cute. He's the cutest grandkid in the world. He'd come up to me and he'll get a piece of candy from me or something. And then, but this, just the other day he came up and he loves mints. Every time he said, Grandpa, can I have a mint? Can I have a mint? And so I came up and said, you already had one. You can't have another. Serious. It was as cute as could be. Pooched the lip right out and just stomped away. I love being a grandparent because I don't have to deal with that anymore. Hallelujah. I just love them. But you know what? Let's be honest. I do the same thing and you do the same thing. When you have a pressing need and a desire and you bring it before the Lord, he doesn't say yes. He says wait. You get disappointed. And when he says no, you throw out the poochie lip and you stomp away. That's not how we should respond, church. That's not how we should respond. So first of all, we should pray with perseverance. Second, we should pray with confidence. Isn't that what 1 John chapter 5 told us? We're to pray with confidence. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. We'll finish up with this point. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through verse 11. First, we ask and we keep on asking. We seek and we keep on seeking. We knock and we keep on knocking. And God promises to open that door. Now in verse 9, are you there? Say amen. First word? All right. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? No, your children know you wouldn't do that. They have confidence that you would not do that. Why? Because you love them. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? What's the answer to that? No, of course you would not. No loving father would do that. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? So we pray with perseverance, and then we pray with confidence. There's three things I want to talk to you about, and then we'll wrap this thing all up. And then I'll share something else that God put on my heart. The reason we can pray with confidence is because of the trustworthiness of God. You can trust him. Do you know that? You can trust him. Has God ever failed you? Will he ever fail you? Never has, never will. You can trust him. Don't let Satan shake you away from your confidence in Christ. Cast it down. Embrace the trustworthiness of our Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above. Do you know he loves you and he wants to bless you? God wants you to be blessed. The Bible says the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Do you know that he has come? What a privilege to be a Christian. What a wonderful thing to be a child of God. Could you imagine being lost without Christ, without someone to petition, without someone to put your confidence and trust in? You know, we see what's all going on in the world today, and I try to stay up on politics. I'm kind of political, and I bring it before our people to keep them abreast of what's going on. I'm so thankful that our confidence is not in our courts. I'm thankful that our confidence is not in the Obama administration. I'm thankful that our confidence is not in the economy. Our confidence is in the Lord. He's trustworthy. We can trust him. He'll see us through. Whatever may happen in this life, you can have confidence in your Lord. The Bible says he has come that we might have life and that we might have it more what? Yes. The abundant life that Christ offers to us as believers. So when we pray, we can pray in confidence because of the trustworthiness of our God. We can also pray in confidence because of his faithfulness. Is God faithful? Will he always be faithful? Listen to this. Paul said to Timothy, when we are not faithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That is his attribute. He can't help to be faithful. He is a faithful God. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is the faithful God. God is faithful. The Lord, thou art God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. You know what? You can pray with confidence because of his trustworthiness and because of his faithfulness. And the third thing, and I'm going to close with this, You can pray with confidence because God's timing is always perfect. Always. Doesn't always happen in our timing. But a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. He looks at time a whole lot differently than we do. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Was God's timing perfect? Now, wait a minute. How many would say God's timing was absolutely perfect? Did Mary and Martha believe that his timing was perfect? Of course, Martha, the mouthy one. They send a message. They know that Jesus is close by. Lazarus is sick unto death. Of course, Jesus already knew that because he was God, right? But he gets the message. And what does he do? Does he rush right over there? What does Jesus do, church? He delays. He was a Baptist. Baptists are never anywhere on time. I don't know if your church is like our church. We can never get anyone there on time, and then we can never get them to leave. I think everyone in our church has a key because I'm like, I'm going home, lock the door when you leave. You know, you can almost hear anger in Martha's voice when Jesus finally shows up. You know what he's waiting for? He was waiting for Lazarus to die. He made sure he was good and dead. Lord, if you would have been here, if your timing would have been right, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. And he's been dead 3 days, and by now he stinketh. Was Jesus' timing perfect? You know what? We would never have known the story of Lazarus unless Jesus would have delayed his coming. Listen, please, especially you young people here tonight, we have so many young people in our church. Our church is busting out the seams with young people. There's a lot of older people here tonight. A lot of gray hair tonight. You that are older here tonight, and I'm getting there real quickly. Carol, you've watched me turn gray over the years. We've grown older together. But you gray hair saints here tonight, you have all witnessed and watched people destroy their lives because they believed the lies of Satan. God doesn't hear. God doesn't care. He's not going to answer your prayer. You better go on living your life without him. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Is there something in your life that you've been asking God for, and it doesn't seem like he's hearing or answering? He's hearing, and he is answering. I don't know how he's answering, but he is answering. Listen to me, church, tonight. Here's what I'm trying to do tonight. I'm trying to increase your confidence in God. I want you to leave here tonight having complete confidence that God hears and God answers my prayer. And I'll tell you something, it'll change your life, it'll change your church. Everything that's been done, if you knew anything about the history of our church and what's happened with Fellowship Baptist Church, it's a miracle of God. Everything has been done by prayer. It's been breathed in prayer. It's been accomplished by prayer. The Lord hasn't allowed all of my visions to be fulfilled, but they're being fulfilled slowly and gradually. For years, I had the vision of a Christian school. Now, God's bringing it to pass. I wait on the Lord. Say, Lord, there's that vision. There's that vision. There's that vision. And can I tell you something else? God always pays for what he orders. Let God pay for it. Trust God. Trust his faithfulness. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. But I want to leave you with this. The most wonderful prayer in all the world that God will hear and answer immediately is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you don't have to wait, and God will never say no. I'm going to close this by saying this. On Monday, there was a lady in our church whose grandfather is in the hospital. He's on his deathbed. I went and visited him a few weeks ago and shared the gospel with him a little bit. Him and his wife were there, and his son was there. And so I really prayed this time, God, when I go, he's so close to death. I said, Lord, please help there not to be anyone in the room. Help. Don't bring nurses in. Don't bring doctors in. You know how that can happen? Yeah. Or even another person being there can be a distraction. So I really prayed. Went in. I was down to Adrian Bixby. I went in and greeted him, and God gave him alertness. He was as sharp as a tack. You ever been in those God-appointed meetings where you can just feel God's presence come into a room? God's presence came into that room about 35 minutes. I shared the gospel with this man who for 87 years had nothing to do with God, was an unbeliever, made that very clear. But I shared the gospel. I'll just make a long story short. He said, you really believe what you're telling me, don't you? I said, I really believe with all my heart. It changed my life. And I was reading to him from a little Gideon's New Testament, King James New Testament, because I rode my motorcycle, so you know, you don't want to carry a big Bible on your motorcycle. So, and then he looked at me, he said, you really believe that that is the Word of God? I said, I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is the Word of God. He said, so if I pray and ask Christ to come into my heart and save me, I can go to heaven? I said, absolutely. He looked at me and said, I'd be a fool to reject that. I said, yes, sir, you would. He looked at me, a tear started to come into his eye, and he said, I've never prayed before, and I don't know how to pray. 87 years old. He said, can you help me pray? I said, sir, I'd love to help you pray. I said, if you believe what I say, you just repeat it after me. And he prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. He looked up and he said this. This was so, I'll never forget, this was so cute. He said, you know, I can't hardly remember anything anymore. He said, I can't even remember who came and saw me yesterday. He said, what happens if I forget I got saved? Now you think about it. Here's a guy who just got saved, forgets everything. What if I forget I got saved? And I said, I promise you, God will never forget you got saved. Can I tell you something here tonight? If you've never asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, Wednesday night, we had the Grace tour team with us. You just had them recently, the guys from Grace. We had them with us, and they sang, and a young man gave his testimony about how he was raised in a pastor's home, was actually a song leader in the church, led the choir, but wasn't saved. Just got saved about a year and a half. He gave his testimony, he was crying. After church Wednesday night, one of our members came up to me. Actually, he kept following me around the church. You know, after church, everyone wants to talk to the preacher. And so I'm talking to all these people. He kept following me, so I knew he wanted to talk to me about something. And finally, he got me alone. He said, Pastor, he said, that test, he's crying now. This big guy, bigger than me. Not bigger this way, but bigger this way. And I led him to the Lord years ago. He said to me, he said, you know, I've never been saved. I said, well, let's get saved right now. So there in the office, he bowed his head and he asked Christ to come in his heart and save him. He'd been living a lie. been living a lie all that time. I wonder if there's any of you here tonight living a lie. Like every head bowed, every eye closed.